As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocketship Podcast. This is Michael Saka. So this is the last set of interviews we have for you from Collisions. And today we talked to Dilawar Syed, who's the president of Freshdesk. This was a great interview talking about how they've scaled globally. They were started in India, but were instantly selling worldwide. There's some great lessons in here for anyone building software outside of the Valley or even inside the Valley. So give it a listen. I think you're really going to enjoy this. We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Hover makes purchasing and managing your domain simple and easy. This week, I talked to George Diab of Working On about why he uses Hover.
Oh, man. I've been using it for a long time, probably 2012, I think. I love it. The prices are great. The interface is awesome. And I still have a few domains out in some other places, and I'm just waiting to find some time, and I'll move them all to Hover. I love it, yeah.
Go to hover.com and use the code SATISFIEDCUSTOMERS to get 10% off your domain purchase today.
CodeShip is a hosted continuous delivery service focusing on speed, security, and customizability. You can set up continuous integration in a matter of seconds and automatically deploy when your tests have passed. CodeShip supports both your GitHub and Bitbucket projects, and you can get started with CodeShip's free plan today. Should you decide to go with a premium plan, you can save 20% off of any plan for the next 3 months by using code ROCKETSHIP. Go to CodeShip.com/ROCKETSHIP and check it out.
Tell us, what is Freshdesk?
So Freshdesk is a cloud-based customer service app, which basically allows companies, brands, to manage customer support. We have, as the customer inquiries are coming through email, phone, Twitter, Facebook, mobile, all through various channels, but all of that happens, the management of interaction with customers and solving their issues, the resolution takes place within this app. It's obviously cloud-based, so you can buy a subscription on a monthly basis or an annual basis, and that's what Freshdesk is.
Yeah. So you are the president now.
Right.
Tell us a bit about the founding team and how it got started.
Well, we are now in our fifth year as a company. We were founded in Chennai, India. It's actually a very inspiring story of global entrepreneurship. You know, it's interesting, thanks to cloud and thanks to Google, frankly, you can now build global products globally. If you actually have a great idea and you form a good team around it and you're solving a need, you can actually launch it from anywhere. So we were founded in 2010 by our CEO and founder, Girish, who actually worked in another product company before, so had a very strong domain expertise around customer service and so forth. And Freshdesk became a global phenomenon at the very beginning. Just to give you a little bit of sense of the market space that we are in, you know, thanks to mobile and social, companies of all sizes now feel the need to provide customer service. because as a consumer, Michael, you might be tweeting about something that's not very savory for a company's brand. And often that is happening in a very public domain. And it used to be, when I was in enterprise, like I said, Siebel Systems, when I was a product manager, that only big companies, big brands needed CRM. They needed service. You know, it cost millions of dollars. But now, I mean, it's not the case. I mean, yes, big companies still need that, but a lot of smaller companies, mid-market companies, SMBs feel that they need to be able to provide that support using a tool, but they can't afford millions of dollars, and it doesn't have to cost millions of dollars. And that's where SaaS comes in, that's where we come in. So we are really trying to democratize, if you will, the use of customer service tool, just like SurveyMonkey has done for surveys or Gmail has done for emails. There is no reason that companies have to pay a lot of money for using a product, frankly, that also is not that great. You know, when you look at someone like Salesforce, again, I have great respect for Salesforce. But the reality is they're a cloud company, but they built a product about 10, 15 years ago, and that still looks what it looked like 15 years ago. You also look at business users who use Freshdesk. These are customer service agents who are millennials. I mean, they grew up playing consumer games. They grew up in a consumer world, and they expect a business software that is easy to use. So we focus a lot on product. When you look at Freshdesk, it feels like a consumer app. It's very lightweight. However, without compromising the complexity of the software, we sort of made it, you know, easy to use. So given the huge market demand, the expectation from business users, and our focus on product, you know, this has been a huge opportunity for us. We have grown from about 4,000 customers about 2 years ago to now 44,000. So it's an 11-fold or 1,100% increase growth over 2 years. We've been very grateful to have great investing partners. Google Capital, Accel, and Tiger Global are our main investors. We raised about $94 million. And much of that money is obviously going into building a product. Globally, we have 400 people strong. Chennai is still one of our biggest offices. That's where we built the product. But we have built our operations in North America. We are headquartered in San Francisco. Sales, marketing, partnership, ecosystem, customer success. And we just recently opened office in London as well as Australia.
So you grew from 4,000 to 44,000 in 2 years, you said?
Right.
What was responsible for that kind of massive growth?
Well, one is, as I mentioned, is the... But frankly, this is sheer demand in the market space. You know, a lot of companies who come to us on the SMB side, before Freshdesk, guess what they use for customer support? Email.
But so right. Do you have a sales team that goes after them, or is it a lot of inbound?
Good question. It's a lot of it is inbound. Inbound is at the heart of our business. In fact, I would tell you that in addition to our product, our biggest innovation is our business model. And that's true of a lot of next-gen cloud companies. We have a very lean model, inside sales driven, high velocity, somewhat transactional, and we are not putting boots on the ground with large outbound teams. And that's where, when you look at our peers, you know, in the market, while they're cloud companies, but they adopted the go-to-market model of SAP and Oracle from 20 years ago, 30 years ago, with heavy, you know, sales and marketing spend. We are not that. You know, we take great pride in being a global company, but we mostly, you know, do sell remotely. And part of it was also, quite frankly, where we started. We started in India. And we had to be remote, right?
Did you focus on the U.S. initially?
Day one, we were global. Day one, we were global. Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. I mean, India is a part of business like it is part of anyone else's business. We are not disproportionately doing more in India. It's almost irrelevant where we are based, right? To answer your question, the growth, so we've used primarily inbound channel, online acquisition via Google AdWords. And then, you know, by the time the customer comes to us, they have already signed up for a trial. So they're already feeling the product. They're already getting a sense of it. And our job is to help them understand this and almost help them close this, right? It's a very different model than how software used to be tested, if at all, and sold and consumed even 5 years ago, even today, where you look at Salesforce and others. So that allows us to do things in a much more high velocity manner, in a much more intimate manner with the customer, and customer also is making a more informed decision when it comes to, you know, evaluating Freshdesk and ultimately deciding to use us.
How are you differentiating yourself in the market, you know, as a consumer who's looking at Desk, Salesforce, and Zendesk, and now Freshdesk? How are you kind of communicating to them that you're different? Content, the strategy, is there a way that you guys say, hey, we're the easy one to use?
Well, the product speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And I'll share with you where this comes from. I think this is partly just the natural evolution of companies. We are a more modern solution because we were built only 4 years ago versus another company that's built about 10 years ago. And we've seen this in our industry in tech, whether on the consumer side, and I come from the consumer side, I've worked at Yahoo for many years, and or the enterprise side, you know, companies that are, ventures that are more recent always, frankly, have the advantage of doing things better because they've seen what didn't work. As an example, by the time Freshdesk was built, social as a channel was already mainstream. We didn't think of social media, Twitter or Facebook, as an afterthought and let's just slam that channel as part of our solution. No, we architected our multi-channel product around Twitter and Facebook. Another example is chat. As you may know, chat is, real-time chat is now increasingly the biggest growth channel for customer service. Many companies, many brands, and you may have seen this as consumers, are moving from email to chat. You know, when you're on a website, you just want to be able to chat and not talk to anybody, right? Now, in our case, we just built that organically as part of the platform. Zendesk bought a company. They're still trying to integrate that. And they, by the way, sell you extra and charge you extra. So the point I'm making is, you know, where we are in the industry and sort of where we have come from in terms of our timing, we are a more modern solution. We are organically, I would say, post-channel. Forget about multi-channel. And third thing I would say is our global roots. I mean, we were global, international from day one, right? Because when you're not in the biggest market where you're building product, you have to be very attuned to what the world needs. And I think that has benefited us in big ways. We, for example, did very well. We still do very well in Europe, in EMEA, in Australia, New Zealand, in South America. So the difference is the strength of a product, its ease of use. And finally, let me just add one more thing. Our biggest roots are in SMB, and we still, that's a part of our core business. When you're selling to an SMB where you don't have an IT savvy staff, often you don't, right? You have to make the product as simple and as easy to set up as possible. There are no consultants. They have to be able to onboard themselves. So we have taken the same discipline even into an enterprise engagement, that our setup is very easy. In fact, there's no implementation required. We take great pride in saying that we have no services revenue in the company. It's all product. Because it takes you 3 days, 2 days, maybe a week to set up Freshdesk, not implement. Again, that's where we differentiate from some of our peers in the market who have a lot more, you know, consultant-driven approach to implementation.
Right. So how do you reach companies that aren't online every day? Like, I'm sure a lot of your customers are SaaS companies or enterprise, you know, internet tool companies, but how do you reach people like the mom-and-pop shop down the street that also need to manage their relationships with customers from a sales perspective?
You know, it's amazing. They are online. The only challenge is people just never reached out to them. They never cared to reach out to them. And I'll tell you why that's the case, why they don't reach out to them. They have not found this economically viable, commercially viable to sell to them. Does Salesforce care to sell to mom and pop shop? I'm sorry, with all due respect, they don't, because they can't afford to. When you have a large outbound sales team with an average rep costing you 100K plus in San Francisco Bay Area, you cannot afford to sell to the mom and pop shop. Contrast that with our business model. We have a structural advantage, and that is, we actually have a big part of our inside sales team based globally. It is profitable for the individual reps to be able to sell. They don't mind a $300 MRR deal. That is of no consequence to our friends down the street in San Francisco, on either side of the street, by the way. And you know what I'm referring to. And that is, and to me, when you look at, you know, I always look at impact as a way to measure what are we doing with the business. You know, and I think when you look at Freshdesk, its impact in democratizing, use of a great tool is enabled by our structural advantage of having sales and customer success teams that are globally distributed, where it's commercially viable for us to be able to incentivize someone, a professional, to be able to sell to a small, mom and pop shop who needs it as much as, you know, somebody who's not as, who's bigger. So I find that, sort of economic value creation in those markets, as well as impact for the small, mom and pop shop who can't afford an expensive solution, and somebody that you're catering to them now with a great product.
So on the one hand, your team's global. On the other hand, your customers are global. Like any, you know, SaaS company, you're selling to everybody. When you're going after smaller deals, how do you narrow down the leads for your sales team to be, good leads?
So one of the benefits of having an inbound model where trial is the way, it's the ultimate filter. So when somebody clicks on a Freshdesk ad in Google, and let's say, you know, you might be saying perhaps they made a mistake. They go to a page, they look at sign up. Okay, sign up, I don't know what this is. Once you go in, you realize, oh, actually this is something that I don't need, they can just leave. But if they sign up and they actually go through the process of onboarding themselves, and by the time they come to our sales teams, we know that they have an established need, they've taken the time to fill out a simple form, and they're actually using the product. And so that's the beauty of the model, is with the trial model, is that you can validate the need. It's a serious opportunity. If it's a smaller opportunity, we have an SMB sales team that manages it. If it's a bigger opportunity, we have a research team that does research on the customer and say, well, you know what, this needs more high touch, this needs more fidelity. We're going to be able to have our teams based in London or San Francisco or Australia, you know, manage that relationship. So we do have that process very well laid out. But at the end of the day, our freemium trial model and our sign up, you know, is, you know, acts as a terrific filter to validate the lead.
So it sounds like your sales team is really more of an onboarding team.
You could say that very well. You said that very well. But at the same time, you know, we do want to make sure that the customers know what they're getting into. Mm-hmm. And it's not in our interest, and we would never want to do this through, you know, sell them hard, because the reality is SaaS makes it easier for them to leave if they don't think what this was. And if you're spending time with them, you want to make sure, because we know we'll take care of them. We know we are going to invest in supporting that customer. We, by the way, provide free customer support. You talk to any of our peers, you have to pay an arm and a leg to be able to speak to a real human being. In our case, regardless of size, we support everyone with a you know, live agent. So, you know, we want to make sure that this is really what they were looking for. And there are many times that is not the case, and then that's fine. You know, we'll keep the trial, they will come back. Hopefully I answered that question.
So I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about the founder and kind of being a classic entrepreneurial story and getting started, especially outside of the Valley. Can you share a little bit about why that story means so much to you?
I think part of it is that, you know, you look at what entrepreneurship has done to our part of the world where we are in the Valley. You know, like, I've been in Silicon Valley for almost 24 years, and it has transformed even this part of the world, right? Some of the brands that we today take for granted didn't even exist. This industry didn't even exist. It has created millions of jobs around the world. And we see the same potential, whether it's in Bangalore or Chennai, or it's in the Middle East, or it's, you know, in Eastern Europe. It is literally changing lives of people. And it's enabling access to create value that just didn't exist. And now, thanks to cloud, thanks to online marketing channel, thanks to access of talent and knowledge around the world. I mean, when TechCrunch gets published, it gets read all over the world. That stuff didn't even exist. And if you, again, add, you know, cost of hosting and AWS and all of these services, it's incredible. Look at Collision here. I mean, I don't know how many international folks were here. Probably
1,000 startups.
Yeah, but yeah. Many of them are actually not United States, yeah, or not the Bay Area. So what I find there is, it's really an opportunity for us to spread the good. And Freshdesk's story is reflective of the fact that if you have a great idea, you have a good team, you have passion about solving a business need, and you have access to all these resources and knowledge, you know, you can build a global product. Geography should not mean much. Nationalities should not mean much. So I personally find that very inspiring. We take great pride in having a very diverse and global team. It makes us stronger. You know, we never sleep around the world. There's somebody always up. And, you know, there's not many companies who are going through this now. I was, by the way, in Chennai in the previous trip, and Chennai, India, hosted a SaaS event. And there were 200 SaaS company founders who took a bus from Bangalore to come to Chennai. 200 of them. And you see this now around the world. So when you have role models, it can proliferate. And so that's innovation, that's more value for the consumer, for the businesses, as well as, you know, for these local economies all over the world.
That's awesome. I love that.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, cool. So how do we keep up with you and Freshdesk?
Well, you keep up with Freshdesk by just being in touch with us, and we would love to keep in touch with us. You know, freshdesk.com. I would invite your listeners to please check us out. You know, you all need a tool to look at when it comes to customer support, or just follow us and see what's happening, either as a partner or hopefully as a customer. I can be followed on Twitter at Dilawar, D-I-L-A-W-A-R. My first name is my Twitter handle. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And be sure to check out our app discount section, where we have discounts on products that we use every day, like Woo Themes, Wistia, Treehouse. Go to rocketship.fm/essentials and get your discounts today. To the ground. I saw sinners making music, and I've dreamt of that sound. I was walking far from home, but I carried your letters all the while. I saw lovers in a window whisper, warn me like time. I saw sickness blooming fruit trees. I saw blood and a bit of it was mine. I saw children in a river, but their lips were still dry. Lips were still dry. I was walking far from home, and I found your face mingled in the crowd. Saw a boat full of believers sail off talking too loud, talking too loud. I saw sunlight on the water. Saw a bird fall like a hammer from the sky. An old woman on a speed train. She was closing her eyes, closing her eyes. I saw flowers on a hillside and a millionaire pissing on the lawn. Saw a prisoner take a pistol and say, join me in song, join me in song. Saw a car crash in the country where the prayers run like weeds along the road. I saw strangers stealing kisses, giving only their clothes, only their clothes. Saw a white dog chase its tail, and a pair of hearts carved into a stone. I saw kindness and an angel crying, take me back home, take me back home. Saw a highway, saw an ocean. I saw widows in the temple to the Lord, naked dancers in the city. How they spoke for us all. Tables and a motherless coat, then it was